Well, okay, so let's go. And so we've got the agenda here for our November 7th meeting. I'd like to propose just one change. And with the agenda, it's item 4E. Let's delete that, if that's okay.
Okay.
I had a conversation with Heather at the end of the day yesterday, and there is a new bench policy coming, but it's really outside of the purvey of us, of the commission. It's a town bylaw. And so we thought, you know, it's really outside of this commission. So we'll just strike that one. Okay? Otherwise, I think the agenda's good. Is everybody else okay with the agenda?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll adopt that. Approval of the minutes. I had a couple of questions from our last September 5 meeting, and I don't know if they'll be in that package that some of you may not have them. See if you, yes, who's got the package?
Yeah, it's here.
Yeah, okay. So there was just a couple of things. Item number 2, soil slump in Beach Creek survey update. I'll just read this. It just sort of doesn't make sense. Survey markers will be measured every 6 months and have been measured twice since installation. A minimum of 4 readings are required to determine whether mitigation is required. It has been determined that this slump is not a significant contributor to sediment in Beach Creek. That's kind of not how the conversation went,
yeah.
Because Rob was just starting to monitor the survey stakes, and it hadn't gone through a winter rain. And so that last statement, it has been determined that this slump is not a significant contributor to sediment at Beach Creek. I don't think that's been determined, because the protest was just initiated. I think maybe they checked once so far. So it's kind of contradictory.
It's just a one so word,
just
yeah.
Just
striking that last sentence.
Yeah.
Could we take that out?
Not reflected with the conversation. I wasn't here to say your name. I'm sure you wasn't either, but if that's
it. What we did talk about is that those survey states need to go through a winter rain, like a cycle of winter rains. You know, if we're going to have a little bit of that, that's what it's going to be. All right.
I'd also just add one word, the word yet. It is not yet a significant contributor.
Let's just strike it if it didn't.
Get rid of it entirely.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing thing. Okay, Brandy?
Got it.
Okay. And the next one, it really wasn't fully explained, the public budget process. This is Heritage Forest Reserve bylaw. The Heritage Forest Commission will be notified of donations received by the town through the public budget process. And then use of the funds will be discussed directly with the commission. Okay, so that's good. But we didn't discuss the public budget process at all. And so, but that has shown up in the minutes. And so what is that? Or so we originally wrote this reserve bylaw in 2015. The idea was if somebody wanted to leave money in a will, they could, and it'd be used towards management and improvement of the heritage forest. We're going to get into that. And that the commission would okay expenditures, right? So in other words, people wanted to know that if they left money in the will, it wasn't going to go fix potholes on the road downtown or something like that, or, you know, to pay staff to empty the garbage cans in the heritage forest on Sunday or, you know, something like that. It was for significant stuff. And so I'm just wondering, the public budget process, like how would we know, and I'm going to ask later because we're going to get into it, and I know that someone has left a significant amount of money to the Heritage Forest. Are we expected to figure out the public the public budget process? Like, what is that?
I just want to speak to this briefly to say that this reflects what the process is. This is the process. When there's a financial plan and it's a public process, it's updated every year and reflects the 5 years, it shows the reserve funds in every financial plan. And so
okay.
If you can just hold off on your other questions, that we can get to it when we get into the review.
Okay, so there would be a place on your website, let's say.
There's a financial plan on the website all the time.
And it would say...
It has a page that says reserve funds.
Oh, but, and would it say an amount?
Yeah, it would.
It would, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so the onus then would be on us, and we'll get into it more a little bit later, but the onus would be on us, or anybody, if they wanted to know if the funds have actually come, because somebody has died, we would just need to look at the website and find that financial page and know that the monies are there.
How often is it updated?
Well, I was going to say that I think it's not a large document. It's attached to the financial plan process is very structured with council. They go through and they're sort of right in the middle of it right now. And then so there'll be two public input meetings coming up. And then once it gets past that and council change their final edits, right, then it gets attached to a bylaw. And it's in more of a summary form then. So you see more detail of that. I think it still has reserve funds, though, even in the bylaw. I'd have to look at that.
How about a possible solution? This is very complicated.
Let's talk about that one later.
Okay.
But I think, you know, it is through the public budget process that the notification happens.
Okay. But if we're going to have input into the spending of the money.
And we will talk about your input into the budget process later.
Okay, great. Okay. Well, that was a question I had.
Yep.
Thank you. And then the last one is dealing with the other effective area-based conservation measure and protected area designation. Just that last line, a letter of support from the town is required in order for this donation to be approved. And Skipson will confirm whether this will need to be brought forward to council.
So it was brought forward as a late item, and it was approved, and the letter was sent.
Perfect. Okay. Those are the only questions I had on the minutes, just a few little things. Okay.
So the minutes from today will reflect that the minutes of September 5th were approved. I don't know if you're doing it by consent.
Yeah.
As corrected, striking. It has been determined that there's not, and that sense striking that. So that would be the only edit.
Just one change?
Yes.
Okay. So, review of terms of reference. Now, terms of reference. So, you each have a copy of Bylaw 656, which is the Heritage Forest Commission Bylaw. That was originally written in 2005. It was amended in 2010. And I just thought, just to quickly, I don't think we've ever done it, really, in here. I've been here since 2007, believe it or not, and I don't know that we've actually ever really gone over this document, right? So I just thought, just to quickly, at the bottom, establishment of the commission. So our goal is to assist the town in the provision of effective management of the Qualicum Beach Heritage Forest. Okay, so that's clear. Then the composition, 5 voting members, 2 members, at least one being a member, so 2 town members, at least one being a counselor. Now, years ago, we had 2 counselors, and so that's okay. We've got a town employee and a counselor.
But a town employee is not a voting member.
Yeah.
Town employee is a voting member.
No, no. So I'm appointed, and then I don't know if it's, I think it's Angie maybe, is the other one. There's
yeah, member at large. No member. He's member at large.
One of the other members is appointed by the town.
Well, that's where I'm going with this. Because there's been a change. Like, we're not actually following the Heritage Forest Commission bylaw. Because the bylaw says 2 from the town, at least one being a member of council.
Well, I'm appointed.
Then, and 2 from the society.
So that's your...
And 1 from a member at large. And we've got 2.
Yeah. Well, a member at large, I don't know. I mean, the town has been appointing the member at large, I think. So
the town needs to.
So in total, there's three appointed by the town and then two from the Brown Property Preservation Society.
It's a little bit different than what it says in the bylaw, right?
Well, it doesn't specify who's going to appoint the member at large, maybe. By resolution of the commission. So maybe we've been doing that here.
Nope.
So one of the things, when I said that Tyler and I are here to help out with backlog and things when people were absent, and to do projects, one of the things that we're doing is taking a look at each committee and trying to make sure it's compliant with the terms of reference or the bylaw, and making recommendations about how we can improve things and improve it for the members, too, so that it's more effective and that you have the resources that you need. So I don't know, Tom, if you're okay with me jumping in here, but there were a few things we wanted to introduce today. On the terms of reference. So
terms of reference for the Heritage Forest Commission.
And how it operates.
Yeah.
How it operates.
Because that's okay as far as, you know, somebody gets sick or, you know, whatever. Just as long as you've got five voting members here.
Yeah.
And so whether it's a layperson appointed by the town to represent the town, one of the votes, and then the other layperson, it's an eligible voter for town of Quaquamish, that's fine. Bottom line is we've got five voting members.
And I see five people, more than five, sitting around the table.
Well, we've got Pat.
Sure, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, she's a member of the public here.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So and voting members that we're talking about.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And as staff, we are never voting members. We are here as a resource. And as we move on. So, and that's one of the things we want to talk about was to have more support from staff. And I know for corporate men, they've been very short staffed and they have been attending the meetings. And we don't want too much of it falling onto the liaison because corp officers have a very specific role and to make sure we're you know, following the bylaws and providing advice on processes, things like that. So we're trying to commit to being here more often and also, to make sure that the staff liaison, which is usually the department head, I think it started out that it was the superintendent of public works, and of course there's been an evolution in names, and so it's usually the director of planning or the director of infrastructure services, so one of them will commit to being here. And then that's important for tracking the information coming from the committee. You know, and that it's getting acted on. Staff have in the past had a document that had all of your recommendations, your motions, and then the staff assessed them. And that kind of fell off in 2023. We've had some changeover on staffing, and so we want to get back to that. So we're keeping track of things and making sure it's happening. And then the big thing is for the agenda, the format of the agenda. And I think you're doing a good job in listing the issues, and I understand the chair has been sent out to the members information about what's being put to the agenda so you're aware. And so we just want to tweak that process a little bit to the best practice. So it's very standard in municipalities that committee members are everything, their communication is supposed to happen in, I was going to say the chambers, but in the committee room and in a public meeting so that anybody following your work knows what's happening. And so it's important that the information, the form of the agenda, provides full information. And while there might be full information provided to members, is there full information provided to the public? So what we usually would see is an agenda that has, you know, you have five areas of interest, you know, the duties of the commission on page 3, 21, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And so what we're recommending is reformatting the agenda so that those headings, the five headings, are the headings of the agenda for your work. So that then when any one of you wants to or the body, or council, you know, if you're putting forward something, the things we want to think about to show is which area of responsibility does it fit under? And so then we would list that item under the area of responsibility, the duty. And then, so there'd be a heading, there'd be in brackets, which member put the item forward so that everybody in looking at the agenda knows who's going to speak to it first.
That would be great.
Yeah, I think that it is helpful. And then below that, there's, you know, I know there's not always time to write a written report title, but at least if there's, what is the ask? What is the recommendation? Is there a motion for the item? Because otherwise it's not really known what the purpose is for it being there. So what's the ask? So usually the ask is put in the form of a draft recommendation. And that's something the staff liaison and the person who puts forward the item can discuss and get that formulated, just as we do with council members. We review with them what they want to achieve through having an item on an agenda. So
just the point, probably for at least a decade, I've been writing the story for each agenda and sending it to either Brandy or her predecessor.
I understand.
But what has been happening is then it's, I only did it the last time, like kind of a full explanation, because there was a lot of stuff we wanted to talk about. I had actually never sent that out to everybody. I'd only sent it to the secretary in the past. And might I just add, whoever, especially with the town, has an obligation to come to the next meeting to present something, please read the agenda and be prepared to present. We're going to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
But some of these agenda items I've had to put forward, one was 3.5 years. Every meeting for 3.5 years. Another is 1.5 years. And so really that's creating far too much work for me.
Yeah.
And so if this is a possible solution that we can get the town representative involved in this, that'd be great.
And that's what we were discussing. What, you know, weaknesses and strengths of the current system and what we want to improve on to be a better resource to you. That is really the goal. And I think, you know, if it says verbal update, like we need to make sure that, because it exactly who. And it's not always just the staff liaison. Sometimes they need to pull someone else in from another department to speak to something. And so we just want to make sure everybody's well prepared. And that's, and so thinking back to that, I skipped the other one, and I don't know if Heather had a chance to talk to you about this one, but it was, for the minute taker, one thing we were wondering if it would be helpful if the draft minutes came out to you after the meeting, like if we put them
Absolutely.
Up on the website, because I think that also triggers for the staff liaison, they've got it, and we want the minutes to reflect if you're expecting something at the next meeting, then they, you know, have that on their to-do list to invite so-and-so to the meeting. And it helps us prepare better. We know your meetings are 4 times a year. We don't want to be leaving it till the week before the meeting. So this way, if the draft minutes are going up on the website and you're getting emailed the link, you know, within a week after the meeting, then it's on everybody else's target of what they need to do.
Well, how do you conduct the review of the minutes? What would be the mechanism for doing that?
There is no review of the minutes before they're put out. Mm-hmm. Let me be really clear about that. It's a corporate officer's statutory duty to produce accurate minutes. Where these would be put up as drafts, where the input from the committee comes from is when they're on your agenda and you're approving them. And so what I would recommend is that the motion to approve is as I described for this last one. The approval of the minutes as corrected, you know, and whatever corrections you feel they need. But another thing I will mention about minutes is it's very much, it's not intended to be a newsletter. It's very much supposed to be action-oriented. And so you can have all the discussion in the world, but it's not going to be reflected in the minutes. It will simply show any action coming out of that. It might say you discussed X, Y, Z, but any action coming out of that. And then, like, whether it's to, at the next meeting, bring somebody something, or have somebody attend, or ultimately, your role is advisory to council. That is your role. And so, ultimately, if it's an action item, it's a recommendation in the form of a motion that the Heritage Forest Commission recommends that council X, Y, Z, so whatever you want them to do. You know, the very first statement, the establishment of the commission is to assist the town in the provision of effective management of the Pelican Heritage Forest. And then the items, the five headings, on item 20, you know, it talks about all those different aspects of it. So one thing that we find when we have committee agendas that are in the order of their mandate, their terms of reference, their duties, it helps you to understand why some items, if you put them forward, they might not make the agenda. Because if they're not within these items, then it's not within your mandate. So the exception to that would be, you know, and I mean, we recommend moving the council inputs up to the first. Usually that's the first item on every committee agenda, is what's the status, what motions has council done since the last time you met that are of importance to you? Maybe they're not directly referrals to you, but they're things that are of interest to you. Because they're about the Heritage Forest.
Well, that would be great, because I've had to go to council meeting on the computer, on your website, to know whether something's been approved, a motion that we've made, and that's the only way I have of knowing.
And so we're going to spend a lot more focus on filling in ABC. So the status of recommendations to council, referrals from council motions. And we will show, like, in that spot, we would show what your recommendation was and the date of it. And then if we know what the status is, like if it wasn't made, we'll say no action taken at such and such date. Or if it hasn't actually been considered by council, if it's been postponed, we'll show that.
Okay.
So that you know. And then referrals from council, that's if council has referred something they are asking of you, that they want you to look at and provide some advice on. And then the council motions, that's the one where it sort of falls into the category of, well, it would be a good thing for you to know for information. And so we would put any council motions that we think are something. So you don't have to go looking in the minutes.
That would be great. Because as I say, there's been a few things that have gone forward to mayor and council, been approved, and it's taken literally years to actually get it done. Okay.
And so this is a good segue to talk about
so there's a relationship between the council and staff. Like, that's important.
That's what I want to talk about.
Okay.
The council is very proactive in prioritizing the work of staff. And it's through a process they're going through right now, and if you haven't been observing strategic planning, it's a very interesting agenda. There's a process where if there's a project or something that we call it a service level increase, that's what it would result in, it goes to council in the strategic planning process. And council then measures them all across all the other ones, because of course it's not just about one topic, like there's a myriad of topics. And then they also have the financial plan sort of going along, and they relate those things to what it would mean to the financial plan. So is it something that's going to be funded from a fund or a grant or a donation? And so the submissions that the department heads do will identify what the project is. It will identify who's the champion for it, whether it's Councillor Skipsey or another councillor, or it's a motion of council that they ask that she refer to strategic planning, or, you know, just how it came to be on this list. And then it will also show the funding options and whether it's something that needs to be funded over two or three budgets. You know, maybe it's not in 2025, maybe it's in 2027 or 2026, 2027. So it depends on the scope of the project and what the funding is, what the funding source is. And then, so council looks at that, and then, so they're prioritizing it. So the other piece to that is they're looking at, they're very into right now service reviews and what the level of service is. And so they've done a level of service policy for parks amenities and how that, you know, can help. Because it can't be endless. The taxpayer can't, we can't handle it. I'm a taxpayer here too. And we can't handle it. So they have to cap what we can do. And then the same of reviewing how many employees we have in each function and tracking the time that the employees are spending on something. So,
might I just give a practical example? I don't want to interrupt, but
yeah.
It makes the kind of inject every other thing. So there was four directional signs for the Heritage Forest. It took 3.5 years
yeah.
to get them built.
Yeah.
Right? 3.5 years for four little signs like this. And it was when I finally kind of raised heck with your CAO and said, listen, maybe I could just come over here and sit down with your computer IT guy. And that's when you guys got Oliver on it, and bingo, bango. But it took 3.5 years. Council, mayor and council had approved it. I mean, how much does that cost? The society paid for all the signs in there except for these directional signs, right? But the vote, if we go back to the voting thing, it's really important that we have somebody here that has the authority to walk out the door from this meeting and kind of make something happen out there. Get the signs made. Right?
But,
versus just.
Yeah, but from this meeting, the actions go to council. So the, what happens.
So is there a time limitation?
No, there's not. We put it on the agenda for council, your recommendation. And then if council endorses it, then it goes on to a work list. And there's many factors in relation to a work list. And while it might be a bit too simplistic to say it just needed IT to get involved, Is this the one that it needed a, what were you guys doing? You were doing?
This is the URL map?
Yeah, the URL handler.
Yeah, so it was the first allow, remember, because it was
3.5 years. It was 3.5 years.
It's just to finish.
Yeah, sure. So it was the first, because at that time, council was wanting to invest in a branding exercise, you know, which would be quite exhaustive. And we didn't want to redo the sign. You know, so I put out the signs and then find out that the town is no longer using the crest, for example. So at that time it was deferred. And then, I think that project is now a lower priority than other things. So at that point, okay, we need to get on.
No, he means the project of Brandy.
Oh, the Brandy, yeah, with your crest.
Yeah.
You can't have a TP on there.
So there's complexity.
Yeah.
I wanted to say I was slightly raising my hand so you guys weren't such a good conversation, remember?
No, sorry, and I'm coming back.
Yeah.
Jesse was waving. But that's what I understood was, you know, yeah, sometimes it takes time, but sometimes it's because other things take priority.
Mm-hmm.
Or we have absences. And when we're down, many staff, and I know parks has had a shortage of staff over this year, the service that they aspire to provide and is their effective service level was greatly affected by a shortage of staff. And so, like, we all have to be a little bit flexible, but I appreciate that you brought it to the front that, indeed, it's been 3.5 years worth of signs, because then, you know, there was a decision made that we're not waiting for the branding. Mm-hmm. We're going ahead and
doing
the signs.
Yeah.
And so I understood the signs is
it's done.
It's done. So we're good. So,
the was to speak.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to make an observation that I think the real benefit to kind of putting this in a more effective structure is it will allow the, you know, staff to prioritize and carry through on the actions that council has prioritized for us. You know, so it's always been a bit ambiguous because council has never allocated a specific budget for the Christian sports.
Right.
Never. Right.
We talked about it way back when.
And I think that's a real shortcoming because that puts staff in the position where, you know, which of council things do we advance? And up until the last few years, it's never been really clearly articulated through a strategic planning process how exactly that works and which ones are more important than others. So, you know, this isn't an apology for the way things were doing in the past, but just an observation that's why we're doing this, is to improve it. And one of the things I'd like to see come out of this is for the same type of budgeting, like a microcosm of what council is doing in terms of annual budgeting, I'd love to see that same kind of thing go through the Heritage Forest, which could then flow through the council. And then if council allocates the budget, then it's very clear. If they allocate staff resources, it's very clear.
And that's a good segue into your earlier comment about when do we get input. And I've worked in places where, you know, like Squamish had 24 committees and they were all preparing annual plans of what their work plan would be, and it would go to council for approval to be consistency with the strategic plan. And then they would also participate, and even a little landfill. Like every year, the budget submissions had to be in by August. And so the committees would always meet, you know, May, June, even into July, working with their staff liaison on what are committee's recommendations for budget expenditures specific to their purpose, their, you know, their advice that they're giving to council. Not on the whole community, but on everything. And so they would have a list, like I was saying about the Parks and Rec Commission there. They would have a list of projects, and then they'd be asked to prioritize them because you can't do everything in 1 year. And there was identification of potential funding sources, and then it would go to council. Council would look at it in the overall aspect of the whole community budget and what can the taxpayer withstand, and, you know, is there going to be a budget increase as a result, or is it something that has a reserve, like, you know, we have a lot of reserves, and you spoke to earlier, we have the Heritage Forest Reserve. And an update on that is I checked yesterday, and while someone may have passed away and there may be an intention to make a donation, there has been no money received.
Okay.
So, and I know from an estate I had to deal with recently, 2 years, 2 years. So it could be a while. But what will the process be when that money arrives?
So that's a separate topic. Let's back up a little bit because we're starting to stray away. So we discussed the budget, and the budget is something that's spelled out that we should have a budget. And when I met with a department head years ago, I don't even remember who it was, I said, well, listen, how would I help you design a staff town budget? I don't know what your pickup costs are. I don't know what your staff wage costs are. It's pretty straightforward in Heritage Forest. If you pick up the garbage on Sunday, we need a load of chips, a 5-ton truck of chips, about every 5 years. It's pretty basic stuff. So my thing at that time was maybe you could just have a look at what you've been spending. And if it's 20 grand or, you know, whatever the heck it is, there's your budget. Because I don't know what that will cost.
And so, to be really clear, it's not a request to ask committees to do the staff budget. It's a request for you to think about having an annual work plan of projects that you do and articulating that and then going to council for endorsement. And if there's a special project that you want to have done, then it would go to the through the same process, but as a we call them scoping sheets, where it describes the project and then the budget that's required for it, and that's how it's put together.
So, but again, this is an inferior, this is something that you're dealing with, not your position.
And I just add too that the scoping sheets include the number of staff hours, because that's also a limited resource, right?
Yeah. So one of the things, you know, we've implemented the public inquiry system. And so there's like different levels of service that are budget impacts. There's the ones for a project, and we talked about that. And then there's the ones where it's just the regular day-to-day management operations. And that's why it's really critical that as citizens and members of a committee or commission, and this will help reordering this so that it's by project or by mandate. If it's anything outside of that, if it's day-to-day operational, you don't have to wait for the next meeting. So if there's a, you know, an illegal dumping, or there's a tree down, or anything like that, go into a public inquiry online, input it, and it goes through, and then staff will send it on. And if we determine it's a level of service that requires a council approval, then it will get brought up in a different way. But one of the things, when you mention about how much have we been spending in the Heritage Forest, is right now, because you understand how many parks there are, there's so many green spaces and parks. Like, there's a one parks and trails budget, and it goes into that pot, so the expense goes in there. So, but through the public inquiry, it will allow us to be more refined in how much time is being spent. You know, when I talked to Rob about this, he said, well, one of the challenges is if the requests are coming and not documented through the commission minutes, and they're coming in other ways, whether it's a phone call or a text or whatever it is, it's not documented in the way public inquiry is. And so he doesn't want to be putting into a budget proposing that they spend 200 hours, and really it's 400 hours. You know, so it's important that it's not just the commission work in this room, but any things that come up that require staff service. And so we encourage you to use the public inquiry system. We'll be making some changes on the phone system, so we're not getting calls that way. Like, we're trying to retrain people to use the public inquiry system so that it does get tracked. And then as well, I think the big win would be having an annual work plan. Even if as we talked about, if it's saying, well, in the spring and in the fall, there's going to be chips being brought in for this. Or, you know, once a year, we're going to do X. And so that it's just articulated in that way.
We can easily do that.
Yeah.
Because we've been doing this for years. Yeah. So there's
routine.
Yeah, there's not that much, really.
No.
There's always going to be the extra tree that blows down, or,
yeah,
you know, and the kids have a fire on a Friday night, and, you know, so, whatever.
But that, yeah, then, when it's something like that, it can get reported through public inquiry, and you don't have to wait for, you know, the next meeting, and then it will get addressed, and it'll be tracked. And so that's really important to staff when they're trying to do their service level reports to council of how much time is being spent. I mean,
is this something that Lynette is doing? Because what I've been doing forever is just sending a text to Lynette. You've got a tree down on the back of the loop trail.
And so we want to retrain everybody to not text Lynette. So, and what a nightmare it is for corporate administration. But, you know, everything that the commission does. If you're writing notes on your agenda, if tomorrow we get an FOI request for access to records, we want to see what was commented on at this meeting, and I couldn't attend, and well, whatever the reason is, then we have to go through and pull those records, the same as we have to go through and search through text messages and emails, and that is the bane of our existence, FOI. So, yes, and even for other staff, like they say, you know, they far prefer an email because then they can categorize it and save it in a certain way and goes into the main file. But the next level up is public inquiry because then it's in a system, there's a tracker on it, it gets assigned, we know when it's done. And so whether Lynette is here or she's gone for a month, it's getting dealt with because, you know, we're not all here forever. And, you know, it's really important that the work that you're doing, and we want to make sure that it's being documented and responded to. And so I think, have I covered everything on that? I beat that for us.
A quick question on the using public inquiry mechanism. How much information, background information, should go along with the request for an action?
Well, it's really important that there's a name, your address. We have to ensure that it is a person and not whatever. And there's a phone number so they can contact you and get more information. But then it's something, you know, a description to describe the urgency. So what's the so what about this thing you're reporting and asking about? And, it, you know, I'm trying to think of how many characters. Is there a question on it?
No.
So, yeah, so you can write in as much as you want. And then it will get sent out. And the AI will determine who it's going to, whether sometimes it ends up being a public works work order, and it'll go through there. And sometimes it will go right through. But, again, it's a little bit complex in that it's a distinction between your day-to-day things, the operational things that staff need to deal with, going through public inquiry. But if it's something that is going to take a service level increase, whether it's more staff, more resources, buying X, Y, or Z, then it needs to go through a process. And so just as in other communities, they're following that cycle of financial planning and strategic planning, we need to get you there. So right now we were just thinking that if you were discussing your work plan, and as you said, Tom, it's pretty, you know, robust. You've got a lot of history. You know what you guys are doing here. If you can sort of articulate that in November and then even finalize it in February, then it would be ready to go through. Ideally, we'd be backing this up to the summer so that it's like the September meeting maybe, so that it goes into...
We can do it.
An annual financial plan. Yeah, and that's
because it's really basic.
Yeah.
Who wants to write down what's going into the public inquiry system? Is somebody going to record this? Like,
so public inquiry system would be routine day-to-day operations. So same as any citizen would input. So if there's a tree down, report it through the public inquiry system. Illegal dumping?
No, I'm talking about the budget. Like you were talking about writing a kind of, some bullets as far as what are the categories. Well, the categories are trail upgrade,
mm-hmm.
empty the garbage cans, tree removal. It's really basic.
So if it's day-to-day operations, I think we'll work on integrating that. So a work plan later. If that's all it is for next year,
yeah.
Basically saying there's no special projects.
So there's going to be no volunteer work fees next year?
Well, there would be.
So that's what we see going into the annual work plan, is mm-hmm. things like the volunteer work fees. Because I need to tell you, I mean, I feel like I'm the bearer of bad news anytime I come into a room, but the assembly liaise with the our insurer, the Municipal Insurance Association, and that's MIA, we talk about MIA. They're there to provide a service to municipalities, and so that's who we get our insurance for, liability. And so they're the ones who give us risk management advice and come through and do inspections and, you know, help us out and give us advice on what we need for people to use our facilities. So it used to be that we just had to give a crew talk, a tailgate talk to the volunteers. We didn't have a list of who the volunteers are. They've upped their game, and they probably had more claims or something. And they, I saw an email that they were showing me that very clearly states, when there is a volunteer work day, we need to have a staff on site. So, again, you can understand why we need...
And we've been doing that.
Yeah. They've been on site all day?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
I do a two-hour segment.
Yeah.
And so it's just 2 hours.
Oh, that's perfect.
And actually, we started that last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which was a change. And so last year we started Mr. Bates and then Jeanette or, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
Once in a while Jeanette would hang around.
Yeah.
And
great.
Do the tailgate.
And so there. I think that's the thing. If we're doing up a little list, we need to sort of identify that it's going to be a work fee. And if you can say the month, all the better. If you have to stay spring and fall, you know, whatever you think about. And then that's where we can put it into the system for staffing too.
Quick question on that, just a matter of process again. Do I understand that this should be in an annual work plan?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, annual work plan.
That they're writing.
It's coming from you through these minutes. Mm-hmm. You're saying for 2025, the work plan will include X, Y, and Z, you know, and whether we bullet them and
so it doesn't have to say whether it's ivy pulling or chip laying down.
I think it would from the perspective of for the staff to know what resources they need to bring if they're bringing chips. Or if they're just also, because there's two parts, they have to have someone there, and then they have someone taking it away, right, taking the waste away. So they need to know, are they bringing in things, or are they taking things away?
Or both.
Or both. Okay.
Well, another question before we go on is the approval process or recommendation process, if you like, for an annual plan for the forest. How does that work?
We would see it as the annual work plan going in a motion of council, going to council as a recommendation. So you're doing a motion from this meeting saying that the Heritage Forest Commission recommends that council approve the Heritage Forest Commission 2025 work plan, including, and then there's a list of bullets. And then the other higher level one would be the special projects we talked about. Because like this what we're seeing in the work plan are things we're already doing, right? And so it can be absorbed through the operational budget. But if it's something different, and I don't know what moving the bat houses was, what it entails. I don't know if that's a bad example. But if it's something that requires, I don't know, special equipment or it's not something, it only happens once every 5 years, anything like that, we should start thinking about it as a special project.
Can I make a suggestion? Because I think there's two things we're discussing. One is, like, in the ideal world, how would this flow into the budget process? And because of the strategic planning process, council's already in the middle of that one. So in some sense, like, we've already missed the boat this year.
Yeah.
So the next year, we'll try to advance this process. But my suggestion, you know, just to get into the process and understand how it works, my suggestion would be maybe prior to the February meeting, probably Tom, you're probably the best person to do it. It's just to make a list of how many volunteer events you intend to have.
Already written.
If there's any special ones.
Yeah.
So I do think it's still better to, like, do it in advance of the meeting so it's distributed to the committee members rather than just doing it on the fly.
That's true.
So why don't I write something and send it to the commission members for your input?
We don't do business outside of this room. So I think you can write something. You can give it to Luke, email Luke, and he will make sure it goes as a draft on the agenda for February.
Okay.
That working? Okay.
Yeah, so the motion to council with respect to an annual plan would presumably happen in February.
That's right. Okay. That's right. And I think, you know, it's our first year, so I think that would be fine.
It's a transitional year.
And it's
very easily done.
And just so I'm clear too, regular work that staff do, you don't need to put that in. Like for the staff to go into the garbage can, they also do monthly.
There's a cost for that.
There is, but operations already has that.
Okay.
Monthly trail inspections, the arborist goes in after big winds, you know, they do mowing. You need to focus on the things the commission and volunteers are doing.
Just
so I'm really clear, too, it's not just the volunteers that, It's not just the volunteers that you have our staff there for, and they orient them and they say, you know, while the volunteers are there, and, you know, it's the ivy pulling or chip laying. Any groups that you have come in, even if they have their own insurance, it needs to be shown in here, and we need to be following the same process. Because for a long time, people tell me, well, you know, there's a perception that municipalities have deep pockets. And so even if there's a school or a society who's doing something and they have their own insurance, we need to be sure that our insurance is covering it, the action too. Because they will come for everybody. When somebody gets injured, they come for everybody. So it's not sufficient that there's another entity insuring them.
So one thing we're careful about is that, and I'm going to talk about it under housekeeping, but there's a variety of groups that have been, either using the forest or about to use the forest or whatever, but we always do that, just so you know. If anybody calls me about using the forest for something, I said, listen, we had Maverick here. That was last year, I guess, with the OECMPA process, and they gave us the presentation and stuff. That's a kind of a bigger example, but I always tell people, you're welcome to come. We had ANAC here last year for something. Anyway, we do that.
Yeah. With anything more as a trail, you know, when you walk people through during the hearing.
The Brand Festival.
The Brand Festival.
Say.
Sorry.
I go through here.
Right.
So, okay, listen, by the way, I've been asked, there's 4 tours over 2 days, it's free, you know, let everybody know, and it's in the minutes, right?
Okay, but just something being in the minutes doesn't mean it's been authorized. Like, the minutes that I look at now, they're kind of like a newsletter, but it's not an authorization. And I can't emphasize enough how important it is that our insurance works. Because even for individuals and volunteers, if it's not something that you've been authorized to do, if it's anything beyond your mandate, you're not insured. Your indemnification is not there. So you have to make indemnification.
No, I think we could talk about insurance for 6 hours.
I know. It's a scary thing.
I have a suggestion that we put that on the agenda for February as well to try to put them together. Kind of a more comprehensive look, because we've already covered so much today.
Yeah,
like, I think if we had experience and volunteer management,
it'll
be helpful. And if you can indulge me, I want to summarize my understanding of what we've just covered, just to kind of hopefully put a bow on it, because there's other things that the committee has on their agenda today. So, corporate services, led by Trudy. Thank you so much, is working to improve your agenda process. So your agenda prep process and how it's organized and reflective of the committee's mandate, commission's mandate. We're also looking at ways to improve the annual work plan process so that it flows into council processes, so that you can ensure when something goes forward that if it's acted by council, it has the resources behind it to actually do it properly, right? So that's something that we're working on. Long term, it's going to happen a different time of year, but we're shooting for February for this next summer, just to kind of ease into it. Tracking actions and requests. One of the benefits of revising the agenda process and the motions process is it'll provide a more consistent path to advance the council and a way of tracking all those actions, and we're going to try to improve the ways that those are carried out following the meeting. So once again, trying to make sure that there's follow through, so it doesn't happen. It doesn't take 3.5 years, or if it does, it's a clear trail showing what the decision point.
Why? There's probably a reason why.
Yeah. And then the last thing was, we talked about the public inquiry system, and I think the big takeaway there is that there's a lot of things that don't need to go to the committee meetings in the first place, right? And so that's another part of like clarifying what's in the commission's mandate and what is the day-to-day operations like. We should have already taken care of it, or it could have been done in a different way and didn't need to be on the agenda. So that's another area where this whole process is going to streamline that. I'm hoping that moving forward, the community commission members have one fair to tell.
Yeah.
That's a great summary. So,
and I just have one to add. I think, did discover that we haven't done information binders for the commission for quite some time, and it's, I think, because some of you were very long-term members, Tom's been here longer than me or Heather, so would it be helpful to you? We don't want to force binders on you if you don't feel it would be helpful, but for other committees, we provide them with, a binder, and it has their resource documents, copy of the covenant, the terms of reference, any policies, because it is really important from another aspect. There's like the heritage forest use policy, and there's the code of conduct sort of policy, and so you're going to have it in all in one spot, and then it would talk a little bit about meetings and how they're conducted. So we would like to bring back binders for you for the February.
I think that would be a good idea, because I haven't looked at mine in so long. She's on a shelf.
Yes. They get out of date. We've had new policies come in and new legislation. And so just so you're kept up to date, and what the, if you have any feedback for us on what you'd like to see in the binder, what would help you, just pop Luke an email and we'll make sure.
Well, the bylaws, the pertinent bylaws. That we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, bylaws and policies.
The bylaws.
Yeah.
Rules of the road.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so I think we're pretty straight on the Heritage Forest Commission. Any other questions on that?
Just one clarification, and it relates to insurance. So when, for example, Tom is conducting a tour with an organization in Forest, are there liabilities with respect to town interests of that type of a tour? No work being done.
Yeah. Anytime anybody enters our property, there's liability.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what we tried to say is, if it's normal park use, we don't get involved. But if it's different than normal park use, then the town needs to be involved, because we have to approve if they're installing anything or temporary or whatever they're doing, if it's not normal.
But if it's a walkthrough.
Yeah, walkthrough. That's what that park is designed.
Public education.
That's right.
That's what it is.
That's perfect. Exactly.
And
if you want to include in your annual work plan to say that you'll be doing walkthroughs, then everybody knows. You might get a little more requests for them, though. I'll warn you now.
So we need more
requests.
Okay. They're happening more often, though.
That's good.
Yeah, it is good. It's
public
interest. Okay, so we've got the Heritage Forest Commission itself. I wanted to talk about the reserve fund, and this is just a one pager. So I won't. Form, can you just pass that around? And it's just a one pager.
Yep.
But anyway, bylaw 699 a little bit history. 2015 is when we wrote it. Someone had contacted me about leaving money in a will, and as a result of that, we developed this because the society dropped our charitable status so that we could no longer write a tax receipt. We thought, geez, our membership was $10. We don't want to write tax receipts for all these people for a $10 membership fee. But for a bigger ticket item, yes, of course, somebody wants to be able to claim that. So we dropped our status. The town can write tax receipts. And so hence we've got this document. And in number three of that, of the reserve fund, before any money is used from the Heritage Forest Reserve Fund, the town will seek input from the Heritage Forest Commission. So just a little bit of history there. And I've had a few inquiries. People who are thinking about leaving money want to make sure that it's not to pay the guy to come and pick up the garbage on Sunday, right? Or to fix potholes or whatever. It's kind of, the idea was a special project, something that would enhance the forest, not just day-to-day maintenance. So that's where, if the monies do go to the town, and perhaps there'll be a mechanism that we can go and we can see that the funds are there, then we could make recommendations, which I'm going to do today, in terms of a fence. But the town will seek input from the Heritage Forest Commission as to how those monies are spent. That's how we set this up. So that is
something did you say it's for a fence?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But there is a special project, assuming that, and the particular family that I'm talking about, they have to be anonymous, which is fair game. This is being broadcast. But there was a sizable amount of money coming, and lo and behold, we've got a need right now for a split cedar rail fence. And so we could discuss that under new business at the end, but at this point, we're discussing terms and reference. So this is just that point number three. Before any money is used in the Heritage Forest Reserve Fund, the town will seek input from the Heritage Forest Commission. That was the spirit and intent of this bylaw. Okay? So that's that. Then the commission itself, or the conservation covenant. So you guys,
Tom, just before you go on, I'd like to ask a question about seeking input. So the mechanism we've been talking about is this commission makes a motion and a recommendation to council. Is that the mechanism in this case as well, or is that more a dialogue?
Well, it can be two things. You can be proactive and identify and make a recommendation to council projects subject to receipt of donations or funding. Or at the time that the funds are received, then there would be something back to a recommendation from council that the commission provide input on the expenditure of funds. But it's unusual that is done outside of the financial planning process. Usually it's the fact that somebody's donating money doesn't mean it doesn't show up in the financial plan. The same as when we apply for grants for projects, it shows up in the financial plan. So through the financial planning process, that we would show a project and it'd be in the expenses, and then it would also be in the revenue, and it'd be, you know, and the project would be subject to receipt of the grant, of the grant approval. So council gets engaged earlier because they approve the grant application being made. And, yeah. But,
so this would be in the category of special projects recommended by...
Yeah. I don't know much about figures, but... fences, what the cost is. So there's a
14,000.
Okay. So as I say, there's a difference between if it's a small item that would be covered in the operational budget Anything over $10,000 is generally considered capital, and so yes, that would be a capital recommendation. But again, we've got a system where it's not like somebody making a donation is outside of the budget process. So either it happens due to the budget process, or if it's urgent enough, it can be done as, but it would require an amendment to the financial plan after it's adopted.
And the motion from this commission could include a reference to the reserve fund. Or is that a decision that would be made entirely?
So you propose a project, and then it's nice if you identify where the funding would come from. But if you don't, then when staff do up the scoping sheet, correct me if I'm wrong, but when staff do up the scoping sheet, they would have to identify where the funds are coming from. Because it's very important that it identifies, is it a tax increase for the taxpayer, or is there a reserve fund somewhere where the money is coming from? So right now, the current reserve fund wouldn't be enough to cover that. But depending on whether that those monies arrive this year or next year.
There's 25 coming.
Nice, yeah. Right. But again, whether it arrives this year or the usual probate process takes 2 years,
Well, Tom, a suggestion would be to revisit this at the February meeting, and possibly the donation would be made by then.
Maybe, or when we get to that, it's under new business, but we could make the recommendation that the project be done, and in future, the funds come from the reserve fund.
No, it wouldn't work that way.
Oh.
Because there have to be funds.
They have got lots of money. What are you talking about?
Well,
just kidding.
Yeah, there has to be.
Sorry, because I thought you just said that. That we could put it to future expenditures, spend the money now, and the money come down the road.
So when council does the financial plan, it's a 5-year plan. So they'll have projects that are slated for 2025, they'll have projects that are slated for 2026. And, you know, I should have talked to the director of finance before I came down here, I guess. I didn't know we'd go this far. But it could be a motion to recommend that, the Heritage Forest Commission recommends that council authorize the expenditure of up to X amount of money for a X, whatever the fence is, and that subject to receipt with funding from the Heritage Forest Reserve Fund, subject to receipt of donations. Now, the thing I need to make sure you understand, too, while you've done some homework and it's for, you think it'll be $14,000, for the town to expend money, that if it gets authorized, then there needs to be a process where they go out and get three prices and then award.
Way cheaper to do it from a subcontractor, and I realize everybody's busy anyway, but way better to do it with a contractor that specializes in fencing, as opposed to, say, put it to Public Works or something like that.
Oh, yes.
Wait.
Well, and you're right. So, well,
and they're busy.
They would definitely contract it out. But.
Okay.
But I'm just not sure. Like, they are very far along in the financial plan, and so if you're making recommendations for 2025, you know, to go into the financial plan for 2025,
I was thinking four, because I was thinking by now the proceeds would have been received, and that's where I was asking the question, like, how do we know whether the monies are in there or not?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the question.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, it's a recommendation you're making. If it's for consideration in the 2025 financial planning process, then it would happen in 2026 at the earliest. And let's hope by then It's not even in the financial planning process for that one. It's been received. I mean, there's public input opportunities coming up at the next two meetings, but usually, I mean, they're pretty far along.
See, okay, and so what we have is significant soil erosion that they create. We're here with this reserve fund, and we're talking about the fence, so we might as well talk about it. People are cutting across these creeks, and it's been going on for years. We've been piling up debris to stop people from cutting across. It's a shortcut to get from the Loop Trail over to the end of Sunnydale. And it's not aging boomers that are doing this, because it's super steep. It's younger people, you know, with dogs and that kind of stuff, and it's super steep. The humus is quite sensitive, and people keep throwing the debris back and continuing to walk across. And I was just down working with Nature Trust down at the Mount English River, and there was, you know, where the art gallery used to be, right? Well, they picked up that property, and was working with them down there tree planting a couple weeks ago. And there's this wonderful split cedar rail fence, so not talking about the contractor and all this kind of stuff. So I've had subsequent conversations, and I was just thinking, oh my gosh, there's a reserve fund. I'm not sure if the monies are there, but maybe the monies are there. I've got a couple of quotes here. The problem is the erosion is, it's ongoing. And I want to talk about that in terms of the Conservation Covenant soil erosion. Just piling up the debris isn't working. And that's not to say that people aren't going to climb over a fence that high, but people are going to walk out into busy traffic. People are going to do all kinds of crazy things, whether we should try to get them to not do it or not. But at least I think with that fence, it would be a real step in the right direction, both on the Sunnydale side and on the Loop Trail side. So that's where this is.
So we're working on that. Have we done any public education on it?
We have.
Yes, we have.
That's a comment.
Yeah, so I just wrote make a suggestion because I think Trudy and I would need to talk to our financials before we can really absolutely clarify what the best step forward is. But I would recommend, the committee recommends at this meeting, you know, something that could then be taken forward to council, you know, to formalize that request. And whether or not we're able to utilize the endowment from that deceased resident or not, you know, that is to be determined. But for today, I think I would certainly recommend, you know, that you put a motion on the table.
I've got work.
Formalize that. Okay, good.
Yeah.
And that's all we can do for today.
Yeah, because if you even say, with funding from the Heritage Reserve Fund, it's available.
Right.
You don't even have to say that you're expecting an endowment. You know, it's available. Like, if the funding is there.
Okay. But if we wait 3 years, it's going to be significant erosion over there.
Yeah, still right. It is. Well, here we recognize that it is easy to do it.
So how are we doing public education? So the people
are assigned posted.
Yeah, so it was interesting. I had 8 people over there, 8 burly guys, and we piled a mountain of debris. I put yellow rope across with a sign, ecological restoration, stay out. It lasted 2 weeks. The ropes were gone, the signs were gone, and these massive piles, again, it's not aging boomers, right? It's not us. it's younger people, but everything was gone within 2 weeks. And I've probably piled probably 3 times since then, just when I'm over there walking and just start showing stuff. Anyway, did a big number a couple weeks ago. I didn't realize people were cutting across as they were. And so the branch debris, it's just not working, right? So this would be a solution to
and
that.
The fence, yeah. But maybe a sign on the fence. This fence is here because, you know, just so that people are aware that they're damaging things.
Yeah.
People are so focused on the end goal sometimes they don't see what's happening.
We're crossing on that. I've been around looking at a whole bunch of fences, just kind of how do they build them. And I was thinking, oh, geez, would we do this as a volunteer thing? No, not with insurance. Because we're using chainsaws and, you know, yada, yada.
Something
they've done. It's a small thing.
and it's actually screwed right on to the split cedar rail. And I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. That's a good thing. It's kind of a big in your face. People get sensitive about signage in there.
Yeah, well, we don't want to over-sign it.
No.
We have quite a lack of
and you've got a lot of do-not-do. But
Grass Trevor as well has done a good job of signing and cedar
for
sensitive ecosystem.
Okay, with respect to a motion, Luke, I appreciate that suggestion. We do a motion now. Just thinking in terms of format of such a motion now, as you made some suggestions for changing, it would be a background statement on it, and then the motion itself, in the form of a recommendation to council. How do you want to do that?
I would say no, if I could jump in. No background needed to set a motion, and this would, when it does advance to council, it would be done under Justice's liaison report, and so if it's, verbal background that needs to be provided, it would be provided as that.
Because even if you add, it doesn't mean the full whereas, but even if you add it, after you've got the project name, the dance and where it would be located, you can add something to say to prevent traffic through sensitive areas.
That causes erosion.
Yeah, that causes erosion. Yeah.
So we're going to get to that under new business. So maybe let's go back to our terms of reference, right? Because we're almost an hour and a half into it, and we haven't got past terms of reference. So conservation covenants. So I don't know if everybody's got a copy of this or not, but the covenant was written and adopted in 2008, so it's been around for quite a while.
Yeah.
And so just, we've never really gone over that with the group, but Tina's filed terms of reference. That's kind of our mode right now. The grantor is the registered owner and fee simple inheritance horse, and that's the town of Qualicum Beach. The grantees are the Brown Property Preservation Society and the Land Conservancy of BC. That heritage forest uses a nature park for appreciation and enjoyment of nature by the public in perpetuity. The lands include Beach Creek. And just kind of skipping ahead, page 6. Wildlife means all vertebrate, invertebrate animals, including mammals, birds, fish, reptiles, and amphibians, and the eggs, juvenile states, and adult stages of all vertebrate and invertebrate animals. I just highlighted some points through here, just to kind of highlight page 7. On page 26, there's kind of some meat and potatoes in here of what the conservation covenant is intending, and that's section 3, the intent of the instrument, to protect, preserve, and maintain the lands and the amenities in the natural state, to protect, preserve, and maintain the capacity of the lands as birthing, rearing, and refuge habitat for wildlife, to protect, preserve, and maintain native vegetation, to protect, preserve, and maintain the quality and quantity of water that flows into Beach Creek, to permit low-impact passive recreational uses, to permit natural processes, including windfall, flooding, natural or channel changes and slope failure, and to prevent any occupation of the lands that diminish or interfere with the natural space and the amenities. That's kind of the meat and potatoes. Page 8 talks about the management plan. A little bit of a history with the management plan. As a society, we spent so much time wordsmithing on the Conservation Covenant in 2007 and then 2008 that we took this collective big sigh of relief. We finally got the thing signed, stepped back, and in September, I kind of dug back into the Conservation Covenant and realized we had to have a management plan written within 6 months of the approval of the Conservation Covenant. So I scrambled, and just so you know, the management plan is verbatim, word for word, out of the Conservation Covenant. So I was very careful with that.
and presented it to the commission in December of 2008. It was approved in January of 2009. There's just a little background on that. But on page 8, it describes what the management plan is for, and that includes East Creek. And then if we skip ahead to page 18, it's kind of a longer document, 26 page. Page 18, baseline documentation report. And it's significant. The significance of the land and amenities. Older forests are extremely rare. Streams along the coastal plain usually have few natural exceptions to fish passage and are very important for salmon spawning and rearing. Page 20, hydrology, speaks to Beach Creek. Getting to the culvert, where we're going with that. Page 22 has in the restrictions, a lot of restrictions there, but one that's important is 1A Part 5. Use of permit use of land for the activity of use which causes or allows silts, leachate, spills, or other deleterious substances to be released into any water courses on the land. So that deals with erosion. Schedule C, and just kind of as an overview, page 24, to maintain the trails using wood chips is 1A Part 2. 1A Part D, to construct a small bridge or walkways along the trails, we're required to cross Beach Creek to protect the natural drainage, provided that a bridge is constructed of wood. Ann and I were talking about this recently. The management plan deals with that. The Part G, to plant native vegetation on the land. And Part J, to install a fence constructed of natural materials and is not painted. That's our fence discussion. So there's just a little overview of the Conservation Covenant, of just some pertinent kind of bullets that are relevant to today's meeting. Any questions? Good? Okay. Now, unfinished business is the Heritage Forest Management Plan. Now, with this one, you've all got a copy of it. The date that's there is revised February 28, 2023, and I just did a revision for today's meeting, November 7th. Why? Because the area is different. The area has been determined to be not approximately 20 hectares and approximately 50 acres, but more specifically, it's 18.8 hectares and 46.5 acres. And the reason that came up is the other effective area-based conservation measures / protected areas initiative that has put forth the Heritage Forest as a protected area is required in their submission to United Nations UNESCO to be very accurate with the area. And so they scoped it out and determined that it was actually 18.8 hectares. And 46.5 acres, which was confirmed at our last meeting. So if we're going to discuss the Heritage Forest Management Plan, we might as well discuss, do we want to use accurate area designations, or are we okay with approximations? Like, we know what the accurate number is, and it came up. It was a problem. Because MABRI, the Mount Arrowsmith Biosphere Reserve folks, in making a submission to the United Nations, they need to be accurate with the area, right? So if we didn't use accurate area in the management plan and or the conservation covenant, then we're not in sync going forward with what we're trying to do with this as a protected area. So my question is, do we want to amend the area as well? Now, Rob was going to come to the meeting this time. This is one that's been going on now for a year and a half. So there's that. So if we skip ahead, so what I've done with this.
Just a question about area, maybe.
Yeah.
Clarify this, but so the precise number.
Yeah.
What is that based on? Did a land surveyor provide that?
No, your office did.
Okay, so in that case, I would not use the precise number. And here's why, because unless it's determined by a land surveyor, it's our best guess, you know, based on the legal plan. But a little fun fact about, you know, land titles and land surveys is it doesn't actually matter what it says on your legal plan. If a land surveyor goes out and finds out that your lot is actually bigger or smaller, that's the right number, not what's on the legal plan. So everything in our mapping system is based on legal plans, and unless it's ground truth by a surveyor, I would rather have, you know, an approximate number or than a number that's precisely wrong.
That's a good point, because I raised it with the town, like when this came up, because Mabry needed a real number, like not an approximate number. So for their purposes, they needed a real number. So they spoke it out on the computer and came up with something different.
Yeah.
My question to town is, when the lands were purchased in 2004, paid for in 2005, there is a legal survey done. There's pins still in the ground out there. My question was, you must have documentation there somewhere, because even on the title, and it's got the map right there, there's no area given on it. But I was saying, well, you know, there was this purchase of about 50 acres. It was surveyed. You must have documentation somewhere in there. And so I think what happened is the IT computer guy scoped it out of the computer, the same as Mabry scoped it out of the computer, and they agreed with the number.
But correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I thought that when we're looking at aerial photos and measurements on the computer, there's a percentage of error because it's not surveyed.
Yeah. So the
and the earth is round.
Yeah.
Right. Like, well, there's a profession that does this, you know, and it's not IT. It's land surveyors, and that's all I'm saying to you is that if an IT person says this is the exact area, I take it with a grain of salt, because the only profession that qualifies to say this is the exact area is a land surveyor. So, and to date, I have not seen that document. So that's all. That's my personal recommendation, is that if we're absolutely positive and we have some land surveyor, let's use that number. Otherwise, let's hedge our bets and maintain
it. So what are the terms? You know, back in the day, Sims and Associates, they would have done the survey.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stakes, some of the white stakes are actually still in the ground. I've stumbled across pins, like, it was surveyed. So there's got to be a document here for that purchase.
Just to clarify that, and we can talk about this for a while too, but they may have just put in some survey boundaries somewhere, like say road parameters or adjacent to property, private property.
No, it's all the way around.
It's all the way around. So do you know the document that says the exact area?
Well, that's what I was asking the town, is like Mabry's making the submission. They need to be careful about area because, okay, so this is this 30% protect 30% biodiversity by the year 2030. And it's area-based. So area is important to them.
Need a real survey.
Maybe that's people. There was a real survey.
Okay, but can you read that? And like when I built a fence along my property, I had it re-surveyed because I had an itchy neighbor. And just buy the pins. That's all. That's all it did. So it was cheaper because they were already in. So can that be done? Like get a re-survey?
Well, so my question is, does it matter?
Yeah, that's
right. And what I'm hearing from Lou is maybe we're wise not to. Maybe the approximate or about is maybe even not good enough, but what we want to do with this management plan. I don't know.
Well, I think the town citizens is managing the forest. If Mapper needs an exact number, that's not a problem.
Right.
That's,
but the management plan is, well, my thing was, but then it's like the management plan is sort of incorrect
or it's not quite correct. Approximately 20 hectares isn't 18.8 hectares. Approximately 50 acres isn't 46.5 acres. Does anybody care?
Probably not the public.
Probably not the public.
They like the rounder number.
Yeah, it rolls off the tongue, you know, 50 acres, 20 hectares.
You just need to be careful that when you're doing work out there that we're not going to
somebody else. Somebody's going to point that out, the discrepancy at some point. There'll be a nerd out there that'll pick that.
I have a question for you, Tom.
Yeah.
So I have this in the network, Heritage Forest Management Plan, and it's got the six revisions shown, and so I need to be sure to ask that we not reproduce, that no one else other than the town reproduces the Heritage Forest Management Plan. It's a product of the town. And so just like with our bylaws, if you want to, or policies, if you want to make a recommendation of an amendment, it'd be in the form of a motion that the Heritage Forest Commission recommends to council that council amends the Heritage Forest Management Plan in clause whatever, or page whatever, by striking and putting the word striking this and inserting this, so that then we have a good tracking method.
We've already done that.
Okay, that's the previous one? It just says revised February 28th. It's not the one with the tracking, that's my point.
No, I know. This is
putting one out like this.
This is the proposed amendment, and what I've been asked of the town for a year and a half is to, and we've accepted it. Those are all, it's FireSmart BC standards, mm-hmm. right? That was the amendment, is to incorporate FireSmart BC. So we approved it here. We made a motion to council. So what we're trying to do is to get this draft put into that format where the approved amendment finally doesn't have to go to a lawyer. It's across the top of the page, the approved one you'll see, the one in your left hand,
yeah.
has all of those amendments listed.
Yeah.
That's all we're trying to do here.
Okay.
And we've made a motion to council, and it's been approved.
Okay, so it's all done then?
It's done.
Okay.
So all we need to do is take it from this draft format and add amended February 28th, 2023.
I guess what I'm saying is having a draft format is not helpful. Because then we have to take the last amended version and go and read it word for word. What's more helpful is that one page that says, break this, insert this, add this.
So what I submitted was the amendments in red. Right?
Because I'm not seeing it in the agenda. It's not in color.
It's not in color. But the amendments were done in red.
Okay.
So it was really clear.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And hooked back to that date, February 28th, in red.
Okay.
Right?
So it would be the 7, 8, 9 is being added.
Sorry, what's 70? Oh,
red.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's go.
And 7, 8, 9, 10. So those are adding. It didn't go here in the
right. That's right. 79 of Appendix A.
Yeah. So you can fill up a motion that says, I guess the big question is your first grant on page one, are you going with that or are you going to leave it at 20 acres?
Well, it seemed like, strike that revised November 7th. It sounds like we're not changing the area. Sounds like.
Yeah.
But we're keeping it with.
So right now it says consisting of 20 hectares.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that will, so we don't, so in your motion, or are you saying this motion's already happened?
Well,
that
it hasn't been, but there's confusion whether it had. And so I was thinking with this meeting, just so that town council is quite content, is maybe we need a new motion, like let's do it again.
Sure. The one thing I would recommend that's not in red, it's got highlighted in yellow, the word new at the top of each appendix. And it is on here, too, the consolidated one.
Yeah.
And that's a bit redundant. That thinking is to have the new on your draft that you're putting forward. So it was a proposal that the Heritage Forest Management Plan be amended in Appendix A by striking and then in quotes bracket new.
Yeah.
And by adding clause 7, 8, and 9, and we can put them in full.
Yeah.
And then in Appendix B by striking quote new.
Yeah.
And adding to the heading to read Heritage Forest's description for danger trees, limestone trees, and branches near trails.
Yeah.
And then, and by adding clauses 7, 8, 9, 10.
Bingo.
Okay. There's a motion. Okay. Woohoo.
It took a year and a half. Trudy, you should come to these meetings more often.
I will, a little while. But then the commission needs to make that motion as a recommendation.
I thought we had added the fire smart thing, and that was adopted in February, and then we added the wildlife thing later.
To tell you the truth,
there was two separate.
Because this one shows firefighters that can exist.
But yeah. So that was the, and that says it was amended in February. I think it was on February 23rd or something that we had originally done the fire ones.
Yeah.
And then on the 28th, there was new ones because of the wildlife legislation and whatnot that you had.
Yes.
Come across.
It's all coming back to me.
Consolidation does show the 7-8.
It does.
But it's 10. It's 10.
It's 10 is the wildlife consideration. Anyway.
It's a 9 on
this side, I mean.
10.
Appendix A has the same wording here.
Appendix A has 9. Oh, 9. And it was about the, we extended it to January.
Yeah. So this version that Trudy has is the final version, and it's probably appropriate that we make a motion to council, just to be really crystal clear.
And a question, and I'm just looking through the motions, but did that get authorized by council? Because I remember that the previous one definitely did, but did the second provision get authorized by council?
I thought there was a request to hold off on it.
Oh,
for whatever reason.
Well, okay, so now we're getting into where Rob was coming today with the review of the wildfire resiliency plan.
Yes.
Because the last couple of meetings, there's been a question of, and I agree, you've got consultants writing a wildfire resiliency plan. Is there any recommendation in that plan that should be included, perhaps, in the amendment to the management plan for the Heritage Forest? And so that was what Rob was coming here today to make recommendation, looking at the minutes from September 5, that's what it said. If the town representative was going to come today and suggest, are there any further changes to the management plan that are required? I couldn't see anything in there. I went through the document. The stuff that I put in the management plan is all BC FireSmart word for word. I'm really careful about this.
Yeah.
I'm careful about my own liability. I don't carry errors and emissions insurance anymore. I'm a retired forester, and I have to be very careful about providing information only, not advice, and certainly not service. So when I do something like this management plan, I'm really careful about word for word out of FireSmart BC. I'm not injecting anything. So if we did approve Trudy's version, it would include both the FireSmart BC stuff as well as the migratory and resident bird designations. And just so you're aware, that January 1st to August 31st, I occasionally see the town using March 15. Well, March 15 is migratory birds. January 1 is resident birds. So that's like bald eagles, pileated woodpeckers, ospreys. It's our residents that we also want to protect with not having chainsaws and chipping and all that kind of stuff. So that's why January 1 is used, not March 5th. 15th, rather.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit of clarification. Because now we're in the shipping. And just, you know, shipping is the new standard for everybody.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I did go in to do a search in the minutes for 2024, and March 13th, 2024, it had Parks and Rec notice of motion that council approved the updates to the Heritage Forest as provided by the Heritage Forest Commission. So that was just giving notice. There was no mover and seconder. And then there was a mover and seconder that the notice of motion be deferred until September 2024 to better allow staff to meet the deadlines for the provincial housing legislation and to develop draft fuel management prescriptions, which may include the Heritage Forest as a possible treatment area. And then the next motion is unrelated is voter data. So it was postponed.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to close this loop and get back to Pete, go over this, and then come back to the February meeting.
Yeah, and because there's been so many revisions, like treatment, you and I can maybe can talk about maybe it's a matter of saying this is the new
I think we want to reaffirm the amendment because I think it's good history to have that one that shows amendment dates.
It is.
And you can go back and look.
Yeah.
And
it's a working document.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. But what's missing here is it says February 2023 and it went March 2023 and it did not. It was postponed to September and that has happened. Because they had to finish that project.
That was 2024? No?
That was 2024, March 2024.
Right. So I think, though, the original Fire Smart revisions were put through and adopted.
I thought they were.
I think so.
And that's the February 2023 amendment.
Yeah.
Yeah. March. Okay.
So the question, though, is, has anybody reviewed the wildfire resiliency plan in relation to the management plan? And is there anything in the resiliency plan that should get incorporated? I think there's more detail in the management plan, quite frankly, in terms of the Heritage Forest specifically. The resiliency plan, you know, was a broad paintbrush, and it's a great plan. It's a really good plan. But I think we've got more nitty-gritties of what to do basically on the ground. That's kind of a big picture of the seven areas or whatever it is, and kind of the priorities and everything. But anyway, that was a question.
I don't know the answer. Yeah, that would be something that the fire chief would need to find the time.
Oh, and the fire chief. I reviewed the Fire Smart standards with, I forget his name, Pete, and he totally concurred. He actually added in Appendix B, number 8, that's Pete. Cut tall grass and 5-meter edge along the fire access road walking trail near the kiosk twice per growing season. And 9 with Pete, too. Trim the salmonberry 3.6 meters wide to allow the brand new fire truck to be able to slip in and out of there and not get scratched. Those were his. So he's reviewed it and actually made recommendations, which we've incorporated here.
But then the wildfire resiliency plan happened after that.
That's right.
And so, because the June 2024 motion was of council was to add to the grant to add fuel management prescription for the forested area behind the Oak Beach Fires on that. No, Heritage Forest. To remove the fuel management prescription for the Heritage Forest. So that was removed from that.
Because I think they felt we were doing a pretty good job.
Yeah.
But I think confirmation of that, I think.
Okay. Definitely need some review.
Mr. Chair, I just want to let you know that I have another meeting at 11. So if there's anything I can be helpful with in the next than 12 minutes, I would like to do that.
Well, you're so helpful. So so are we good with the management plan then?
It's going to come back in February?
Yes, I think it will need to come back. And,
okay.
With clarification.
Yeah.
Clarification.
Okay, got it. Other effective areas, just basically that the submission to UNESCO is happening perhaps this week, the month of November, and the Heritage Forest will be a slam dunk. It will be designated as a protected area, and it will go on the Environment and Climate Change Canada's Canadian Protected and Conserved Areas database. That's why they needed to be very specific about area, right? And just, you know, we're shooting provincially and federally for 30% biodiversity protected by the year 2030. The abysmal reality is that in the Mount Arrowsmith Biosphere Reserve Zone area, which you're all familiar with, we're currently sitting at 2.5% terrestrial and only 3.7% marine. So guess what? We've got a long ways to go. Just as a side note, we've proposed, well, there's a group now that's proposing, five areas that were Grand Creek, Community Lands, Milner Gardens, DL-10, and the Berwick Waterfield. Three of them have been approved by council. The Grand Creek Ravine, the Community Park, and Milner Gardens, although it's not owned by the town, but it would seem it's zoned conservation, so it would seem to be a slam dunk, and they'll have a management plan. But DL-10 and the Berwick Waterfield were not, and you were thinking it was something to do with insurance and liability.
That was what the scoping sheet talked about. But,
so I'm not sure why, because DL-10, that's a significant area. Like, we're really trying to get...
Yeah, are we getting off topic? Because we're supposed to be talking about Heritage Forest, and since we've got limited time.
Okay, let's leave that.
Okay.
Beach Creek COVID installation. So, what I've got here, if we could just pass this around.
Did you forget that one? Is that on the agenda?
I'm not sure.
I think so.
But if we could just pass that around quickly, I've drawn a line on the map that you have in your hand now that shows the edge of the Heritage Forest. And so, there's a couple of things here. The conservation covenant that we just reviewed speaks to native species only. There's quite an area of hydro seeding that's taking place there that will be non-native seed. Are you aware of that, Luke, or not?
Yes.
Right? Non-native. So that's in contravention of the conservation covenant. And the management plan speaks to transplant only, right? We've had crazy things like kiwi trees and all kinds of crazy stuff get introduced into the grassy area. So we tweaked the management plan years ago to say transplant only. So I've been doing rescue trees from along the fence at Hemsworth, underneath the power line at St. Andrews and Chester. So transplant only. So we've got two contraventions of the conservation covenant and the management plan with this project. I've asked the town for an update on the covert project at each of the meetings that we've had, and there was never a mention of the fact that this project is going well within the Heritage Forest. We're not using native seed for hydro seeding, and we're not transplanting from within the Heritage Forest. We get into a bit of a kerfuffle a few weeks ago. It seems those two keepers had applied for and received a $1,700 grant for plants that are listed here. There was no discussion with the Heritage Forest Commission about that. Oliver Watson didn't know anything about that. I would have thought with Pacific Salmon Foundation grant applications, there would need to be a letter of support from either the landowner or the land manager. That would be the commission, and that wasn't done either. So there was quite a bit of communication that kind of fell through the cracks here on this project. I think overall it's a great project. It's probably way better fish habitat than it ever was before. But I was also over there yesterday having a look at the the project. And there's a number of species here. If you look at the list up top, you'll see a couple of arrows over to sword fern.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I took 30 clumps of sword fern out of there, transplanted into the heritage forest with high school kids, right? Well, as it is currently, it's just hydroseeded. There's no vegetation on that at all. That will probably be a problem for erosion. I wrote this in 1988. It was published in 1989 for the public, for the province of Ontario. And I'll just read you a little bit. Susceptibility to erosion is greater with slopes exceed 10%. Definitely over there. Long, steep, uniform slopes are particularly vulnerable to erosion. So we've got a long, contiguous, steep slope, and it's only hydroseeded with non-native species. See where I'm going with this? And the RP Bio tried to get me over there a week ago Monday, and I said, oh, forget it. This is going crazy with the Heritage Forest Commission. Like, we are so out in left field with this. No, I'm not into that. Talk to Oliver Watson. He's your contact. So I don't know who planted the trees, but there's a whole bunch of species that were listed on this revegetation plan that aren't planted out there. And I'm not sure why that is. I was just looking at it yesterday. So I don't know what's going on, but it's not in keeping with the conservation covenant. That's, I guess, my point.
A good one for referring to public inquiry at the time it's happening. And then, you know, but it sounds like he communicated with Oliver, so that would be it.
That sounds, my recollection is that there was definitely a lack of communication. I think not all the parties involved knew about the requirements for replanting. And so, you know, you raised it with Oliver. Oliver wasn't aware. You and Oliver and I had that conversation whenever it was, a month ago or something like that, you know, to make it sure it was clear that, like, stream keepers wasn't going to be coming in and doing work, and we're going to make sure that was all clarified. And at the time, you know, we had come to an understanding, you and all of and I, that it should go forward with the revegetation that was planned, even though some of those species were not replanted, or most of those were not from internal transplants from the forest. So
none of them were.
No, we're, you know, doing our best, like, we're trying to consolidate, but your comments that some of these that are should be planted have not been planted, That's
new.
That's a little bit that's new, and I'm perhaps concerning. So I'll have to ask Oliver to find out what's going on, because that is important to both David and Jason.
Yeah, and it's a really nice mix. And David Boss, the RP Bio, is an absolute professional, and he drew up that's his plan,
mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't look like it was followed, which I didn't realize until yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
In advance of the meeting. So that's a question, and I'd be happy to meet Oliver over there if that was...
I think at this point, if we think it's a non-compliance of the plan, that's up to Luke to follow up with that.
Right.
Yeah, I'll chat with Oliver. This is the first time hearing of that. That's
yeah. So just with the list, Dave's got on the right-hand side up top, site, SP, Ed, Sun, Shade, like all those designations. Well, the shade side is the heritage forest side. So in my version, I've underlined the shade. And a lot of those species aren't in the ground. So it looks like it's done. The guys are working on the sprinkler system yesterday. I don't know. Maybe there's some more planting to take place. But that would be a question for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the run.
Okay.
If there's anything I can, you know, information you need later on, just maybe contact them directly.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Luke. Any other questions on that? The Beach Creek project or the Beach Creek project?
Just like your concerns about contiguous. So will some of these plantings help with that, or is there, like...
So if you look at your diagram,
yeah.
Okay, so I used to do large-scale hydro projects for McMill Waddell, right? And all it takes is a phone call to call the seed people, and they'll ship you anything. You know, like they have a huge list of species. And so if we had said, if somebody had said, oh, native only,
right,
what do we got in your list that's native only? Well, they're deeper rooted. They interact with soil microbes better. There's a whole list of reasons to go native anyway. But that wasn't done. And so on that steep slope, that's hydroseeded, and again, I'm not providing advice, I'm not providing service, but what I would have done is I would have placed rocks, just, you know, not even huge, but you want to slow the flow, you want to break the flow, because it's already eroding. It's already.
Oh, I was thinking about that with some of the heavy rains that we've been
through. We haven't even gotten into the winter yet.
Yeah.
And it's already eroding. And so
would replanting some sword fern help?
Absolutely. So I took 30 clumps, probably left 30. So that was sword fern and grass that was there. And there's no sword fern planted over there. And yet there was a prescription here for 40 sword fern plants. So I don't know, maybe the guys put them on the golf course side. I don't know. But that would help break up the flow.
Yeah.
For instance. And if somebody was to ask me, what would I recommend? I'd recommend popping no sword fern in there.
And that if that's what was growing.
It was there before.
Exactly. That's
an amazing thing.
Yeah.
So Ruth is going to talk to Oliver, I guess.
Yes, so we'll text you, Tom, so they don't think they're giving advice.
Because I don't have any errors in the message.
But anyway.
I know, and spirit.
I'll follow up. I'll follow up with him, too, to make sure he has notes.
But it's easy to have a conversation, and I'm allowed to provide opinion.
Yeah.
Right? So. Okay, got a question for the archaeological branch in Qualicum First Nations. We have done some scientific analysis, and at this time I'm going to keep the findings confidential. They're significant, I guess I will say that. I spoke to Chief Michael Rakana last week and gave him information, which he was happy to receive, but I don't think that it serves the interest of the findings and the forest to make it public as we are right here.
Yeah, definitely not.
Right? Okay, got it. So we'll just leave that one. Okay, forest maintenance. Yes, 11 Brown Property Preservation Society volunteers and park staff who supervised us and removed the ivy. We worked together on October 31st. That work was done. Okay. Under new business. So you've got a handout that's called the Brown Property Preservation Society website, heritageforest.ca. Right? So the reason I'm doing this is I've written everything on that maintenance plan and or on the website, and again I'm very careful about providing information, not advice, and not providing service. But I just wanted you to know that under the section, it's under frequently asked questions, it's one of the tabs across the top on the website. There's a subclause there that's what can be expected with climate change. And so I just wanted to bring your attention the many, like page 2 of this, as of 2021, 2022, 2023, and now 2024, we've collectively, between the Society and the Town of Qualicum Beach Park staff, we've done a ton of fire smarting in the Heritage Forest. And I wanted to bring your attention that the fire wildfire resiliency plan, there's a link right there. It's actually on the society website. I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew that. It's a really good plan. And wildlife tree snags, it's a sensitive one. It's kind of a fine line between protecting and preserving the heritage forest as a wildlife sanctuary. But on the other hand, we have to provide safety for visitors. And so I've written this piece on wildlife trees and the kind of the biological rationale, the ecological rationale for keeping wildlife trees and how they kind of work. And then at the bottom, note that this has been provided as public education only and is not meant to give advice or service. In writing,
covering life.
For the single or multiple tree risk assessment is to be done by a qualified person who is regulated to practice urban forestry in BC with specialized training in wildlife and wildlife tree assessment. There. Pond's cover. Okay? Any questions?
The only thing I was going to comment on, because I don't know what we've communicated about the strategic plan, but that was the one from 2024.
Yeah, in June.
Yeah, okay. Because usually protocol is if another entity is going to report on something, it would come to our town corp services, we'd give it to communications to have a look at, so they would review it anytime. Because as committee members, you're not the spokesperson for the town, so it's always important to remember that if there's something to be communicated out, you're responding back to the town or engaging the town to review the work.
Okay, the society website is on the town website.
It's
linked.
Oh, it's linked.
Yeah.
That's different.
It's linked.
Yeah, that's different. It's not our product. We don't write it.
Right.
We don't go in and monitor it really for any reference to town issues.
Right.
So if you're writing about the town, just give us a courtesy of, you know, emailing corporate services saying we've got some new goodies, and then we can get communication.
I just did.
That's great.
I just did.
But this is all we've done.
Right. Yeah, but I just did it. So I'm letting the town know that the link is on the society website.
So usually with our partners, we would exchange information in advance of going public.
See, one of the things we started out with a commission at that point, we started out monthly meetings. And back in the beginning, we had a lot of stuff to talk about, right? Trudy, you were part of that. It was exhaustive.
Exhausting.
I mean, it just went on and on. And, but, you know, the dust settled and we've got it all kind of figured out stuff. And then we thought, okay, to go quarterly. The problem with quarterly is a lot happens in 3 months. It's amazing what goes on with the various course, right? So by the time we've got another meeting, it's kind of like, I don't know, things pile up, sort of.
But again, it goes back to the thing, making the distinction in the agenda of what is project or commission business that needs attention and what is available through another avenue when it's day-to-day operational things. Things like we see the communication stuff, that's between the Brown Property Preservation Society and the town. So it would come through corporate means, we would have a look at it. Yeah, this is all accurate. This is, yes, that's what they report in the strategic plan. Yeah, good to go. Or we might suggest, you know, well, maybe we might have some other wording there.
And would you be the contact for that?
I would use the corporate services at clawsonbeach.com email. It ultimately,
Luke?
No, communications is under Heather's umbrella.
Okay.
And so it would go to Heather and and Danielle. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we would engage with our communications people.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, it looks pretty factual to me. I mean, you know, just saying that council adopted the final community wildfire resiliency plan on June 26th or whatever. So, I mean,
that is
pretty factual.
I took that line
out
of the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Right?
Or out of the staff report or something.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Let's see. The website. Sedimentation. Okay. So Beach Creek sedimentation. So I went through the conservation covenant, and it's really clear where it states in there that Beach Creek is one of the amenities associated with the land to be preserved and protected. Now, we've got the strip or the section, the reaches of the Beach Creek that are actually within the heritage forest, but then we've got upstream up into the farm property, and we've got downstream down through the golf course. Upstream at the culvert at Village Way, there's significant erosion. Downstream below the heritage forest, there's significant erosion. There are survey stakes, if we've discussed that, on the golf course. There's a pond down below that gets dredged every couple of years. There's a couple of big cave ponds that get dredged every couple of years because there is a ton of sediment coming from somewhere. And I made the comment at our last meeting. It was put forward that Beach Creek is not the business of the society and or the commission. And what am I doing asking about upstream impact and downstream impact? And my comment was, because fish swim. they need water. So it's not like a bird that can fly away and find a better place to live. Fish are quite restricted to where they can live. And so we have this sanctuary, this overwintering refuge for cobalt salmon and cutthroat trout in the heritage forest. So I'll use a ridiculous example. What about up on the farm, the farmer washed his pesticide application equipment in Beach Creek, let's just say, and or downstream on the golf course. The staff washed their pesticide application equipment in Beach Creek, and the fish are dead. So the fish are dead upstream, the fish are dead downstream, therefore there's nothing happening in the heritage forest anymore. See where I'm going with this? Like, even though the lands are defined as this approximate 6 acres or approximate 20 hectares, wouldn't we have the wherewithal to ask questions about significant impact on Beach Creek above stream and significant impact on Beach Creek downstream?
Yeah.
Wouldn't we?
That impacts the ecological function and integrity of Beach Creek
within the heritage forest. So that's the link, and that's why I wanted to go through that conservation covenant. Beach Creek is mentioned all through that, and it's birthing and rearing, and it's juveniles and eggs and fry, and, you know, it's clearly part of the heritage forest that's covered with the conservation covenant. So when I'm asking about upstream and downstream impacts, and there are, like there's significant impacts going on, I think it's legitimate for us to ask here in the commission, well, what's going on? Not go away. Don't ask questions. This isn't your responsibility. This is outside of the 50-acre heritage forest. Go away.
I'll just give you one example. I'm looking at Schedule B. In the covenant, where it says the grantor must not perform or allow following activities. You said, I'm paraphrasing, these are exact words. Cause to allow silts to be released into any water course on the lands. The lands being air course. So, for example, if there was upstream disturbances that were causing siltation into Beach Creek within the lands, air course, and that would seem to be something that could would be of importance with respect to this covenant.
It's crystal clear that sedimentation upstream should be of interest to this commission.
Sorry, guys. I had asked Rob if we could have a big map in here because you know, my memory is a little fuzzy, but it says into any water course on the land. So you gave me the map that says the beach creek is outside of the land. So are you saying it feeds into water courses through the Heritage Forest?
No, Beach Creek, there's two tributaries upstream of the Heritage Forest.
Mm-hmm.
It forks and goes up to KSS. That's called School Creek now.
Yeah.
The original name for Beach Creek was Mosquito Creek.
Yeah.
It was probably Bobby Brown changed the name when he bought the place in 54. But the other tributary goes up to where that new culvert project between Chester Road and Village Way. That's Beach Creek, and that goes up into the farm properties.
Mm-hmm.
And so down at the bottom of that map is upstream.
Like so the bottom is this one?
Yeah, there's two. No, the map on your left
this
hand.
One?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've got two tributaries there that go like down to the bottom of the So you've got two tributaries that go upstream. And those are the areas that I'm talking about.
So they are going right through the land.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then,
I was confused by this one.
Yeah.
The landscaping one.
Yeah.
But then if you go back to that map, Rudy, and at the top side of that, you can see where there's, right there.
Yeah.
Well, that then goes into the golf course.
Yeah.
That's where the new culvert is.
Okay.
Right?
Thank you.
Yeah. So, I just wanted to clarify that upstream and downstream impacts on Beach Creek, I think, are relevant to the Heritage Forest Commission. That's the point I wanted to make.
Right, and you've observed siltation coming in from the south?
Okay, so here's a little aside. So upstream towards KSS, School Creek is sandy. What's happening is the culvert is too high. There's a barrier of fish that's been created. It's greater than 1.5 meters. That'll be Ministry of Transport. There'll be a grant or something. But fish can't jump above 1.5 meters. That, according to the Fisheries Act, becomes an impassable barrier. And what's happening there is the water's pouring out of the culvert, dropping down, and it scours down through the A horizon, through the B horizon, down to the C horizon, and it's picking up sand and depositing it through School Creek, which you and I could go and have a look. It's quite interesting. It's a sandy brown color. Beach Creek tributary where it goes up to Village Way, where that new culvert and the new walkway went through between Chester and Village Way, well, that, if you put your hand in the water and stir it, it's black silt. And so that sediment is coming from somewhere. I don't know where. But if you were to go there right now, or you and I, just stir up the water, it's just a cloud of black silt. We did with Scene Keepers a project last year. It was an excellent project on the golf course where we created coho salmon spawning habitat with gravel and rocks and several hundred red osier dogwood cuttings and all this kind of stuff. It was absolutely a thing of beauty in three locations down in the Beach Creek Ravine next to the Forest Fairway. Well, I went in and looked at it in the spring. It was a thing of beauty. It is absolutely full of sediment today. It is absolutely useless to spawning fish. You can just see ripples where the boulders are. It's so full of sediment. And I keep kind of harping about the slough on the Forest Fairway. I don't know if that's where the sediment's coming from, but it sure as heck is coming from somewhere.
So we've been on refocus. I can paraphrase what you said. So implications for the Heritage Forest, meaning what we do here as part of the commission, are fish passage from the golf course could be an issue with respect to siltation. Okay, so it's not so much that the spawning capability of Beach Creek within the golf course, that's not an issue for us to address. But fish passage, so they get in and do spawning in Beach Creek, seems to me could be could be an issue. I don't know.
Well, there's still enough water, like, you know, for adult salmon to be able to swim up through that.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't be using that area for mining. There's no habitat.
Right.
But they need to get into the heritage forest. Yeah. For it.
That's one point. The other point is the slumpage issue on the golf course. Should that slumpage prevent fish passage, then there is an implication for heritage forest, the ecological function.
Except that the conservation covenant talks about eggs and fry and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and fish swim. So if they're not able to survive in the downstream stretch, well, they're sure never going to make it up into the heritage forest to replenish that in an overwintering, you know, kind of environment. These creatures talk a lot full of coho fry and petro fry. We were all surprised when we started working with streamkeepers and ate them up, like hundreds of fish. And so we measure, you know, and take photographs and weigh them and all that kind of stuff. It was a real eye-opener. Because, of course, you can't see them. And so they're down under the bank, they're behind the coarse woody debris. So whether there's no spawning habitat on the golf course or not, I'm not sure. Like, what are the implications of that to the heritage forest? Well, if there's no spawning habitat in the golf course stretch, well, they're sure not going to emerge from eggs and swim up into the heritage forest and spend an overwinter time there, cutthroat, you know, back and forth. So it would seem like there would be implications for the heritage forest. I mean, they swim like it can't swim. And they can only swim in this little channel. They can't fly away and find a new home.
Well, that monitoring is taking place, so we just have to be a bit patient, I guess, and figure out whether or not it is actually contributing or whether that silt is coming from elsewhere.
And there's an initiative to the town has gone in with streamkeepers and Rob and Dave Clough, and they've had a look at that culvert up on School Creek, up across from KFS. We're not involved with that process, whether we should be or whatever, I don't know. But there is an initiative to replace and or fix that culvert at Village Way at KFS.
So I'm wondering if that might be a topic for the February meeting. Have somebody come in and update us on both the ecological implications for heritage forest ecological function with respect to Beach Creek and what actions are being undertaken or possibly required.
See, that was the thing with Rob. I had that on for Rob to discuss. Like, where are we at with this, with the culvert at Village Way? What's going on with this? Are you applying for a grant? Is this year, next year?
Well, there was also, a proposal to do some road work in that area, and I don't know whether that will have implications on this project, whether the two were connected or not. So it would be good to get clarification on that.
That's an engineering
department
question.
I don't know if one goes ahead without the other or not, or where that sits. So that would be, you would need an update probably from staff on that.
So we're going to invite staff for an update.
For the February?
But the update is on School Creek
upgrades.
Yeah. And at that same meeting, it would be good to get an update on the survey stakes. By February, we'll have had heavy rain. We'll have several atmospheric river events by then. Well, what is happening with those survey stakes at Fairway 4 of Memorial Golf Course? So that would be
better. It's every 6 months, so I don't know what the last four times.
Yeah.
So there might be one more meeting.
And I know as soon as they say Memorial Golf Course, they're going to say to the built side, the boundary. But your reasoning is that it's
fish.
Fish.
That was my therapy comeback from last
year. It was simple.
That's basics. And unlike a bald eagle that a pair that nested in the Heritage Forest Forever and Ever are, the last 2 years now, are nesting along the forest fairway at the golf course. They can fly away.
Yeah.
Fish can.
Yeah.
And
it does say in the minute, survey markers will be measured every 6 months and have been measured twice since installation.
So, and Rob was indicating at the last meeting that they need to assess after we've had some of these atmospheric river events. So February would be a good time.
Hopefully so.
Right?
Another reading by then.
We shouldn't be forgetting through this whole process that we've just spent a ton of money on creating a better estuary at Beach Creek. The investment in that estuary is so that fish can swim and get way up.
I think that was about $3 million out of the total 10.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Was there.
And coral, their behavior is such, they want to go as far as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And they're way beyond Beach Creek in an ideal world.
Right, and they're fry prior to smolting.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in fresh water.
Mm-hmm.
A year to a year and a half.
Yeah.
And so the quality of that water course downstream of Beach Creek within the land,
mm-hmm,
becomes an issue with respect to fish movement and the population of coho within. So there's certain linkages. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And sorry, just for the chair, like I'm used to the chair, if you're inviting comments from the public, that you would open that up. Otherwise, there is no discussion between the commission members. And so that item then finished, because we're kind of running out of time here.
Mm-hmm. I think so, but that was a good point.
Yeah.
Thank you, guest.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, Beach Creek erosion due to foot traffic. Well, that's the fence. And so the letter from the family said, and this was an email that I sent you, Julie,
mm-hmm,
on October 29th, that they expressly wish the funds in their state be used, quote, to assist with the future maintenance and improvement of the heritage forest. So that's completely in keeping with our reserve fund, right? Which states, before any money is used in the Heritage Forest Reserve Fund, the town will seek input from the Heritage Forest Commission. We've talked about that. And so I'm proposing a motion to council now at this time. I got quotes from a contractor, the same company that did the work down at the French Peak Estuary.
Sorry, Tom, but the quotes are irrelevant because it's really just a decision, a recommendation to council. There would need to be new quotes done if it ends up going through the process and getting approved.
I thought you might like to know, is it bigger than a bread basket, smaller than an elephant, in terms of how much money are we talking
here? Well, you could put in your recommendation up to X amount of money, but there's, yeah.
You can't
base it on
well, just for the commission. I just thought to let you guys know this is about a $14,000 project. And it looked like
today, but by the time we go to get quotes next year,
who knows?
Yeah.
But at least you have some idea.
So one other aspect of the motion or recommendation would be what is the idea of having this subject to funds being available in the reserve fund? Would that be part of the motion?
Yes.
It would need to be. Yeah.
Yeah, it would need to be. So just with that, it's a zigzag fence. It's not straight. It's zigzag. 10-foot pieces of rebar. Like, these guys are quite professional. And as far as climbing over and having it fall apart, it's probably not going to happen. 10-foot pieces of rebar, they drill down through the cedar that, you know, are joining, you know, on the zigzag. And they want to embed it, you know, as deep as they can down into the soil. Soils are soft there. That's easy to do. And then strap it all together. Pretty skookum fence. But the motion that I
prior to this conversation, just hear me out, now we're going to embellish this thing, right? I contracted to install two sections equaling approximately 220 feet of split cedar rail fencing along the Beach Creek Ravine to prevent ongoing forest soil disturbance along this anadromous fish-bearing stream as a point to start. So what do you want to do with that? So I've got approximately 220 feet. I've measured it. That's what it is. It's two sections. Do we want to then say,
we want to say where it is? Do you think that's important? Like on the south and north side of, you know, on the...
Yeah, we could. On Beach Creek. Something in effect of this work, this fencing, would be along, let's see, the, that would be
south of
north, northeast side, like that way, like northeast side of the ravine, and the southwest side of Beach Creek Ravine. Is that enough?
Is that like the Sunningdale side and the other side is Loop?
Yeah.
Maybe in brackets or something?
Okay, so northeast Loop, southwest Sunningdale.
Sorry, I didn't get that. I've got a council order at the park, my expenditure of funds for up to 14,000. Did you say 14? Or do you want to just make it fit at the end?
Yeah. Approximately 220 feet.
Approximately 220 feet of split cedar fencing.
Rail.
Split cedar rail.
Pipe and rail.
Rail.
Yeah.
Fencing installation
to prevent ongoing
on the northeast side of Beach Creek Ravine and southwest Loop.
Actually, if you go northeast bracket Loop Trail,
okay,
and southwest side bracket Sunningdale, I think that's pretty clear. And do we have the bit about why, like, to prevent ongoing forest soil disturbance along this anadromous fish-bearing stream?
Yeah, maybe we can get into Cormac subject to...
Just before we go there, it's human disturbance that we're...
Human.
Yeah, you want to put the word human disturbance.
Yeah.
Ongoing human forest soil disturbance.
And then subject to.
If you had something else in there to prevent ongoing human forest soil disturbance,
along this anadromous.
Anadromous.
That means fish that spend part of their life in salt, part in fresh water. Anadromous fish-bearing stream. In other words, it's critical habitat, and we need to do whatever we can to protect it. That's the implication. What do you got?
In fact, the council authorizes expenditure of up to $15,000 for the installation of approximately 220 feet of split cedar rail fencing on the northeast bracket Loop Trail bracket side of and southwest side bracket Sunningdale of Beach Creek Ravine in the heritage forest to prevent human forest soil disturbance along this anadromous fish-bearing stream subject to funding available from heritage forest reserve.
Bingo. Okay. So with that, are we saying that we're going to hold off on this project for 3 years, let's just say,
well, I don't know their personal situation, but I can't imagine that their estate's going to take that long. But are we okay to sit tight and wait for their estate to be settled and the monies to come into the public works budget? Or are we thinking that this potentially significant soil erosion is something that the town might want to go ahead and do?
Well, this is a special project, in other words, that would have to be budgeted for as a special project. And so that goes into the financial planning process, right?
Well, our problem today is that the financial process has been going on for a couple of months. I don't know what, I really don't know, because I didn't talk to finance about whether this can make it into this cut or whether it would go into the next one.
We're going to try.
Yeah.
Right. And then you had said in the beginning if the Heritage Reserve Fund, if available, and maybe that leaves the door open, that if the council actually wanted to fund it because they felt it was important, they could move it forward. Or if they felt it needed to be wait until there is funds, then maybe that just helps.
Well, here's a practical sense. So about $3 million is spent on the roundabout on the estuary, Beach Creek. The new culvert was put in on Beach Creek at East Crescent for about $2 million. The town is probably looking at the culvert up on Village Way. That'll be significant coinage. This is chunk change. And it's all dealing with the same stream.
But those projects were a long time in the planning.
Right.
There was grant applications made.
Sure.
Substantial federal and provincial funding for them.
Right.
So please don't think that.
No, we can't just take the money.
Yeah. Right.
Bummer.
You know, maybe it's there, maybe it isn't. I don't know, and we don't know about the timing.
But just to put it, my point of that was just to put it into a priority scheduling that maybe the planning, having made all this effort on Beach Creek, might publicize
more
that they're not wanting to or insisting on waiting for the money to commit to the reserve fund. Because there's so much other effort being made with Beach Creek, and it's critical habitat, and it's really healthy stream.
I rest my case. So you're going to move that, and then Florence is going to.
So shall we move that
on it, or whatever?
Yeah.
Move it along.
Are we? So we're good with the rating, Rudy?
If you guys are good with it,
so we have to vote
for that.
Could you read it back?
Sure. That the the council authorizes the expenditure of up to $15,000. That the Heritage Forest Commission recommends that council authorizes the expenditure of up to $15,000 for the installation of approximately 220 feet of split cedar rail fencing on the northeast bracket loop trail and southwest side bracket Sunningdale of Beach Creek Ravine in the Heritage Forest, to prevent ongoing human soil disturbance along this anadromous fish-bearing stream, subject to funding from the Heritage Forest Reserve, if available.
Reserve fund? It's actually called there. Why not?
Okay.
Motion to adopt?
Aye.
Seconded?
Sure.
Bingo. Okay.
You got the mover and seconder, Randy? Thank you.
Okay. So moving right along.
And then okay. Was carried?
Great. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Beach Creek restoration monitoring. So recently, so this is an easy one. The Maui Aerosmith Biosphere Reserve Fund folks, Ray, got a hold of me to put an application into the Pacific Salmon Foundation for water testing equipment and had asked whether the society would like to help with water collection monthly at the new culvert at East Crescent. That's it. There's been a proposal from Mount Aerosmith Biosphere Reserve for the month of December to hang cedar boughs with some hemlock boughs, not cut from the forest, to celebrate the amazing places of which the Heritage Forest is one. We did this in 2019, same thing, made it in a private contention, said, yeah, sure. So they'll go hang it, they'll take it down. It's only there for the month of December. And I suggested only at the gate at East Crescent, like not even really in the forest, but, and you can see it when you drive by the arch, right? It's a Christmas thing. It's a happy thing. And at the kiosk in the grass here where the 500-year timeline is, there's that wooden structure. And then, you know, you wrapped around the upright stakes and stuff. So I said, well, I'll ask. Is that no involvement of us?
And so are they making a request to the town? Like, what body was it?
That's the Mount Aerosmith Biosphere Reserve folks. Mm-hmm. Maverick?
Okay. Yeah.
I requested. I said I would bring it up at the meeting.
Yeah. But again, it would require a recommendation to council, or they could just write to the town and we can figure out if at a management level it can be approved.
Okay.
So could the Heritage Forest Commission support that, I
guess? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's why they're here, basically, is are we supporting that?
So do we need to make a recommendation to council on this, or can we just discuss it here and says that then like when you're talking, you say they make application to the town?
Don't know. Really
we should make a recommendation. It would be good if there was a written request and it was on the agenda and then we could share it, but if we only have that, it's just verbal.
So we could. When's the meeting of council?
February. Oh, of council?
Yeah.
November 20th.
Okay. So we could make a motion to permit this celebration of amazing places.
To authorize, that's right, request an authorization from the town.
Yeah, right. Because this is, they're looking at the end of November, setting up for the month of December, and then taking it down. So you want to make a motion to council? Yes? Okay. So the motion to council? Could be.
The council approves the request.
From Mabry? To hang cedar and hemlock boughs at the East Crescent Gate and kiosk / 500-year timeline.
Cedar and hemlock boughs at East Crescent?
East Crescent Gate.
East Crescent.
And the 500-year timeline kiosk. For the month of December, in order to celebrate the Amazing Places initiative and to encourage people to visit the Amazing Places. They're going to advertise it for Christmas. They're doing this with all of their Amazing Places, out of the Spirit One. Is that good?
That's actually an ABR, it's not Mabry. It's a biosphere region.
It's not
Mabry?
No, it's MABR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not alright.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Region.
Yeah.
It's a region, please.
Right? So MABR.
Right.
Spell it out for me.
Mount Aerosmith.
Biosphere region.
And that's the Amazing Places.
Yeah.
That's the group.
So, and related topic, where are they getting the branches from? And the reason I'm asking is that storm took down part of one of my trees. And that's about 20 feet above the ground. I think it's a cedar. So I should go talk to them and see if they want some branches.
They're at Lee House.
Who is it? Is it the guy who rents our
you could ask
Ray now?
Yeah. You could ask Ray.
Yeah. Okay. I'll call Ray.
Yeah.
Because I just want to make sure we've got
where did Ray? They wouldn't have to cut any branches down or down.
That Mabry, that council approved the request for Mabry to hang, but it'll be in full.
to hang cedar and hemlock boughs at the East Crescent Gate and the 500-year kiosk.
Timeline kiosk?
Yeah.
Right? 500-year timeline?
Timeline.
For the month of December?
December.
To celebrate amazing places?
In order to celebrate the Amazing Places Initiative.
And encourage people to visit.
So it's not a declaration. I just want to make sure it's not. Good. If we don't do the declarations.
So do we have somebody to put forth that motion?
Your turn, Cindy.
Yeah, sure. Me.
Senator?
I'll second.
Perfect. Approved.
At all. That brings up a nice thing.
Just to let you know, National Forest Week, we had a booth. The Brown Property Preservation had a booth. Mayor and Council were there. Adam Walker provided the Pitching Club aerial space and gave them away. So that was done. 2-3 Gary Oak were planted. This is at the community park. That was quite a worthwhile event. Anyway, this is fine.
So this is where we get to the point where it's not a newsletter, so we won't recite that in a minute.
Okay.
It's not on the agenda.
It's not. It's under Heritage Forest Housekeeping. Just.
But it's over at the community park.
Right. Another one is the Biosphere folks, the Clankwet Biosphere, the House Hound Biosphere, and the Mount Aerosmith Biosphere. Had a kind of a week-long thing. I took the delegation on a walk of the Heritage Forest and explained the ecology and all that kind of stuff.
And the Clayquot, Housebound, and
Mount Aerosmith.
Mount Aerosmith Biosphere.
Delegation.
Delegation.
Did a tour of the Heritage Forest.
Okay.
That's it.
There's no ask. There's no...
No, it was just a walk. It was just a walk, sure. Right?
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff is okay, right? I can turn.
Well, not usually. Usually, it's a business meeting. So usually your business is on. It's not a.
Like they attended the celebration of the new light, down at the kiosk. They were there for the opening of that, and then after that, they came over to the Heritage Forest for a walk with Tom. But that's okay insurance wise.
Well, if it's normal park use, if it's people want to go to the park, that's normal park use.
Talking about it.
Yeah. I think that's normal park use. I don't think we have to have anybody accompany you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you tailgate for that, I think that.
Well, what about the water stamps thing you're talking about?
Well, that's,
That's scrambling down the...
Well,
you're not going to have to scramble down to get water.
Not much of a scramble.
No, okay.
It's an easy walk, and it's done.
So that probably should be reflected. It's in the forest?
That was item D, Beach Creek Restoration Monitoring, right?
That, no, we're, oh, sorry.
That's when you reported
that they wanted to do the previous.
That's right. Yeah.
So that was the business about the Mabry was had applied for Pacific Salmon Foundation money for water testing equipment, and they'd asked if the society would like to join Mabry in collecting water, and its color for turbidity, its pH. Its temperature, you know, it's really basic stuff. But again, the connection is fish.
And I think they do it below. They do it on the golf course, probably.
Oh,
they do it on
the golf course.
No, but they do it on both sides. They, I think they want to see.
This is specifically to the new culvert.
Yeah.
Above and below.
Oh, okay.
The road.
Yeah, I think there should be a motion for that. You know, we have to recognize that it's town property and, we see organize anybody coming in doing any testing on our property, there needs to be permissions given. and the commission doesn't have authority, or the Brown Property Society doesn't have authority to authorize testing and things like that. So that should be a motion, in my opinion.
So a motion to the effect that the commission recommends some authorization by the town of water quality monitoring at the Duke Culvert, however you want to describe it.
East Crescent.
East Crescent, right.
I think like public education is kind of a caveat that I kind of come back to. Like, we've got that in our conservation covenant as one of our managing tenants. Okay, so we'll make a motion then. You got that?
No, I didn't get it. But the Heritage Forest Commission recommends that council authorize
water sampling by MABR.
Okay.
At the Crescent Culvert
on East Creek. On East Creek.
Brown Property Society isn't doing it? It's just Mabry?
It's Mabry's doing it, but they asked if the society would like to do it too.
Yeah.
So on the Heritage
Forest. Why don't you give me the authorization then?
Yeah.
And it's
monthly too.
But only on the Heritage Forest Society.
Committee to conduct water testing.
Monthly? Water testing?
Monthly. Water testing. God, I'm running out of space. Hope you're getting this, Granny. To conduct monthly water testing above and beyond what?
At the
East Crescent Culvert.
At the East Crescent.
New?
On Beach Creek.
On Beach Creek.
At the west. At the east. Crescent Culvert.
Crowdside. Do we want Crowdside?
No, don't get too detailed there.
Okay, I don't think I thought. To conduct monthly water,
quality evaluation.
Sampling. At the East Crescent.
Culvert.
Beach Creek Culvert.
Right there.
Creek Culvert on East Crescent. And monthly starting when and ending when?
Like I said, I guess it depends if they get the grant.
Well, yeah, they've applied for the grant. Probably pretty quick. Ray and I were, this is with Ray, and we were discussing when the project was going to be finished, and I said, think the end of November, probably, something like that. Yeah. So maybe January, starting in January.
So we'll say through a grant-funded project.
By Pacific Salmon Foundation.
Pacific Salmon.
Oh. Very official. Yeah.
Foundation. Project. Brackets is approved. Starting in January.
I think 2025. Yeah.
January 2025. And it's for 3 months, 6 months, a year.
I think it might be ongoing. Yeah. Forever.
I don't think they do grants like that.
No, it's equipment. They're going to
purchase the equipment.
And it's really simple stuff. It's color chart for turbidity. It's temperature, use thermometer.
They do it on Grandin Creek, don't they?
They do. Yeah. But I think Mabry.
Oh, Mabry?
But that's
separate. Okay.
Streamkeepers has equipment. Mabry is purchasing equipment through this van. Okay. And Ray thought to monitor the new culvert specifically. Anything else, you guys? Oh, we need to, would anyone like to approve that motion?
Sure, I'm right here.
Seconder?
Two. That's okay. I'm saying we don't record seconders.
Oh,
at committee level.
All approved. Anything else? That's it for my agenda.
Well, thank you for that.
That's all I have.
All you have. Table covered.
Anything else?
We're approaching the witching hour. Because council, for your meetings, you don't go longer than 3 hours. And it doesn't say it in the committee's terms of reference, but if you try to figure it out.
I'd just like to say, Trudy, thank you very much for your help.
Thank you. Sometimes I always feel like I'm not the policeman, but sometimes it's the principal. That's right. Come on, Tracker. Okay, well, thank
you. It was a perfect time for you that the terms of reference.
Right, yeah.
And this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. And we'll keep working at it.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you. Brad's been doing a great job. She's been keeping all those records.
She always sorts the news up on her.
Yeah.
So you remember all that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to get her brain in the
90s. Motion to adjourn.
Sure.
That's the...